is the man laying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Please repeat. The Brahmana inquired as follows.
The Brahmana inquired as follows.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Whose wife or daughter are you?
Whose wife or daughter are you?
Who is the man laying here?
Who is the man lying here?
It appears you are lamenting for this dead body.
It appears you are lamenting for this dead body.
Don't you recognize me?
Don't you recognize me?
I am your eternal friend.
I am your eternal friend.
You may remember that many times in the past,
you
have consulted me. Remember one time on Sankirtan, I read this verse just before going on for distribution, and I thought, oh, this is, I'm Krishna's representative. And I was saying to people, I'm your friend. Because I was thinking I was a friend, but I was so fired up, because this verse is so inspiring. And people were really happy to take books and give donations. You know, one of those moments, you know, distribution where it's all transcendental. For me, and it lasted for a while, but it was kind of what I'd like to do is read the prayer book and just comment a little as we go along, if you don't mind. So I will say Om Gyan Timirantasya Kinanjana Salakaya Chakshurangaitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing me to ask for the choice path of knowledge. They offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa tarukhyascha yukasindukhyevacha patitanam pavanekyo vaishnavekyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivashari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna
krishna krishna hare hare
relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. So even if we love somebody very much, like if they're a close relative, once the soul is not in the body, we're not attracted to the body anymore. We don't want to actually stay around it very long. I remember when my mother passed away. It's crazy. My whole family just scattered. Her leaving the soul, leaving the body, the whole family didn't know what to do, and everybody just, I was looking around and looking for somebody, but they were all gone. Except one of my brothers. I asked my brother, I wanted to go back to the apartment where I stayed, I didn't want to be alone, and his wife agreed to come and be there with me. And so he took us there, and he was going back to the hospital. And I said, why are you going back? So I don't want them carting off my mother's body like some carcass. I want to be there on her when she's leaving. So I said, okay, I'm coming back with you. So I came back to the hospital with him, and his wife came also. And my brother was holding my mother's body and talking to her. And my sister-in-law was looking at him like he was crazy. She couldn't. But I could understand that he was saying goodbye. I couldn't do what he did because I couldn't transcend the idea that she wasn't there anymore, but he was so attached that he couldn't stand it. He couldn't do that. And then after a while, they came and took the body away. And it's interesting because it was a natural thing for him to do this, whereas in our Vedic culture, it's also like that. You know, we honor the passing of the soul, we take the body on procession, and then we deliver it to the fire, to the samadhi, then it's required. But the principle remains that that the body is no longer attractive after the soul leaves the body. And we dispose of the body as quickly as possible. Of course, another kind of renunciation is said to be there too. The burning bot renunciation. You know what that is, Kanchanaya? Want to say a little bit?
Well, it's the fruit when someone dies and you see a body, you think the body, and then you feel very immense and you understand some of the problems of life. But as soon as you read it, you forget about this.
Yeah.
You know it's very short. But
yeah. And it causes you to reflect on the temporary nature of the body. And the imagination is there too, if you stay for a short time.
Until a week. Until a week.
Yeah.
Everyone goes up.
Yeah, and the West people go to see the body give off of the last respects. And then you can reflect it, but in India, they try to dispose of the body as quickly as possible. For many reasons. One reason is that to give the soul a chance to move on as quickly as possible, not linger. Well, it says, consultation with the super soul seated within everyone's heart is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his paramatma feature, sitting within everyone's heart. Sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaitanya Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the super soul sitting within the heart. And when I was initiated, I had an experience like that, that Prabhupada was outside and he was inside. So one of the reasons for that is that a spiritual master, a very advanced soul, can enter into the heart of anyone. But another reason is that being given here, because the spiritual master is non-different from the super soul. He's the external representative of the super soul. And that's why, maybe another reason, I was still confused by that experience, because he was there and he was here. And I try to understand it rationally, but it's not a rational thing, it's a transcendental thing. Of course, the guru, when Vedavyas came to see Narada Muni one time, Narada Muni told him, like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in three worlds, and like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive super soul. And Prabhupada says, an uncontaminated soul, a living entity, can give the chance to meet the Paramatma face to face. How many people would like to see the Paramatma face to face? Super soul in the heart. It would be nice, wouldn't it? I thought it would be nice to draw on the scripture, the Bhagavatam, and describe what the super soul appears like to a person who has seen it face to face. I would like to ask you to listen very carefully, because when you hear this description, you'll also hear of some of the potency of the Lord's features, what one can do for a soul who can see him face to face. And I will ask you after you get a minute, okay? So the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a cheerful lotus-like countenance with eyes that are reddish like the interior of a lotus and a body that is dark like the petals of a blue lotus. He is most charming to look at, and his serene aspect gladdens the eyes and souls of the devotees who behold him. The Lord is eternally very beautiful, and he is worshipable by all the inhabitants of every planet. He is ever youthful and always eager to bestow his blessings upon his devotees. The Lord's lotus feet are adorned with a thunderbolt, a gold, a banner, and a lotus. And the splendor of their beautiful ruby nails resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of the heart. The Lord's feet act like thunderbolts that shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a very long time. His thighs, the storehouse of all energy, appear most graceful when he is carried on the shoulders of Garuda. The Lord's rounded hips are encircled by a girdle that rests on exquisite yellow silk cloth that reaches down to his ankles. His chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and full satisfaction for the eyes. The neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaushtubha gem, which hangs on his chest. The Lord's forearms are the source of all the powers of the demigods who control the various functions of material nature. The Lord Sudarshan chakra contains 1,000 spokes in a dazzling luster, and his conch looked like a swan in his lotus-like palm. The Lord's club smashes the demons who are always inimical soldiers, and is smeared with their blood. Gosh, I got there. The pearl necklace on the Lord's neck represents the pure living entities who are always engaged in his service. In the Lord's lotus-like face, his nose is prominent, and his crystal-clear cheeks are illuminated by the swinging of his glittering alligator-shaped earrings. The Lord's beautiful face is adorned with curly dark hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. The compassionate glances frequently cast by the Lord's eyes soothe the most fearful threefold agonies of his devotees. His glances, accompanied by loving smiles, are full of abundant grace. For all those who bow to Lord Hari, his most benevolent smile dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. And the Lord's arched eyebrows are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. The laughter of the Lord is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds, rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Once devoting his mind to this, the devotee no longer desires to see anything else. So this is the experience of the pure soul who can see the super soul face to face. Of course, we're also very fortunate because every day we get to see Krishna on the altar. He's so beautiful. And he also has all these beautiful features. So we can also meditate on the Lord and achieve certain wonderful results. Does anybody remember some of the results of some of the Lord's features?
The results?
Huh?
The results?
Yeah, there's something about his feet, how his feet
act.
What are the betterments doing?
The mountain of sin flexing.
Destroys the mountain, shatters the mountain of sin that's stored in our heart. His feet act like that. So we should meditate on his feet for a very long time. What about his glances? What do they do? When the Lord glances at us, what happens?
The threefold
agonies of his devotees are taken away. So imagine the agony must be that we're attracted to the material energy, that we're separated from him, and we don't desire. These are some agonies that devotees experience, that we don't desire enough to go back to him. And what about the Lord's benevolent smile? Rise up the ocean of tears that we've shed. While we've been from body to body, we've shed at least one ocean of tears. So much suffering. And his arched eyebrows. He charms the sex god for the good of the sages. If we can meditate on the Lord's beautiful eyebrows, we will not be afflicted by sex desire.
Because Cupid has a bow and his eyebrows are like both.
And it's amazing how the Cupid arrow works, because it can work, it can make anybody attracted to anybody. I had a god sister, you know, she was really good snake time devotee, but she wasn't, she loved me. And she liked singing. I was thinking, and then one man had done the snake time and said, where is my Cupid? Oh, that's how it works. Cupid doesn't do that. You just ping, and then you get zapped. It works. But they say every lid has pot.
Aluminium pots, golden pots.
And that's why Cupid can make us attractive. And that way we could stay in the material world forever and ever. Amen. So Prabhupada also says, just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within his heart, one also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. So who remembers who got to see the super soul situated before him in the body town? There's a few different devotees. Huh? Do you remember? Yeah, he saw the Lord manifested before him. Who else? Another child saint? And he saw him before the Shingari. Another child saint. Naramuni, yeah. Very brief. Also the Dhruva Maharshi was very brief. And someone else, even very much younger, saw the super soul.
It was great.
Yeah, even more. Mm-hmm. So it was all, huh?
Well, there's also the Kumaras.
Yeah, this is more like seeing the super soul, which is quite mundane, but it's a particular experience. And all of these devotees lamented, if you read this, if you read the Vrihad Bhagavatamrita, Parikshit Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, they lamented, yeah, we saw him. It was so great. Of course, the Lord told Narada Muni, you've only seen me for a moment, but you will always be anxious to see me, and this anxiety will take away all your material anxieties. So if we can become very anxious to see Krishna, very intensely anxious to see him, then we can be free from all material anxiety. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. I'm different from seeing the super soul. So Prabhupada says, when one sees the Supreme Lord directly, then one can take instruction from him. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the super soul in his heart. That's how Prabhupada was doing that. One time, Prabhupada was talking to I think it was a reporter, but it wasn't a devotee in ISKCON, it was an outsider, so to speak. And the man was asking Prabhupada, how do you know who to select for a particular service in your organization? And he said, Krishna tells me. And then Ramaswamy was trying to explain, you know, that, well, what Prabhupada means, Prabhupada said, no, Krishna tells me. So that's Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's so advanced, you can consult the Lord directly. He said that's the duty of pure devotee. Prabhupada said, when the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master, and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the super soul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instruction from his heart, from the super soul. So Prabhupada's saying this because he had this experience all the time. He can say these things with complete confidence because it was his experience all the time. He could consult with Krishna directly because Prabhupada had followed his spiritual master's instructions thoroughly, completely. He had sacrificed everything. He was so inspired by Srila Vishnu Shakyamuni Thakur, and that's why Prabhupada could say with complete confidence that a pure devotee can have direct contact with the super soul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly or indirectly by the spiritual master and the super soul. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Bija, which means?
All the knowledge of the Vedas is revealed.
To a devotee who's completely surrendered to his spiritual master. If the devotee serves his spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yashya prasada, bhagavat prasada. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The super soul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. conserved soul has always been ready to help the living entity, even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, Jainagare Uchicharta. The word Agre means before the creation, because the super soul has been accompanying the living entity since before the creation. And this is, of course, because this is the Lord's compassion, even though we wanted to come here. That beautiful song by Gurangi, I miss you and I always do, though I chose to be away from you, and I'm lonely. But that's what happens to the soul. We're always feeling lonely because we're separated from Krishna, but he's there. He's so merciful. And he follows us from body to body. The Prabhupada describes this in one lecture. Krishna says, I am sitting in everyone's heart. Why? Just to be from the facilities. This rascal living being has come to the material world to till the fields to get some results. All right, let him do that. Just like children play on the beach, do all nonsense, and the father sees, all right, you have finished your business, come on. So Krishna is like that. He's simply seen. We're acting so nonsensically, and Krishna is giving us the same way a dog passing stool and urine, the master is attending. But attending us while we pass stool and urine. Or the father is seeing, the children are playing on the beach. They're making big, big house on the sand, and it has nothing, no value. But Krishna, the father, is giving him opportunity. All right, do it. I mean, we can get a little glimpse of this because, you know, like we were just in Spain now, and there was this World Cup thing. And so it was Wednesday night, and you didn't see anybody in the street. Of course, they were all in front of their television sets, but as we were walking from the temple back to the place where we were staying, we just heard all the screaming and yelling. Everybody was all excited. And that night there was no rest for anybody, neither for the pious nor for the wicked, because it was like 10 Amsterdam New Year's days. Explosions, bombs. People went completely mad. Just for this one rubber ball, where would it be, you know? Anyways, and then following, so we were thinking, okay, you know, next Sunday night is the final game. We were thinking, Pujari, I don't know, but actually we were thinking, let them win. You know, just let them be happy at least for 5 minutes. They can forget how miserable they are in this world. And we were in Malaga, which was a little in a place that was a little distant from the city, but still there was bombs and things the whole night. But just a little more distant than that we had experienced in Madrid. And we were thinking, yeah, let them be happy, you know? That's what they want. And I remember my friend Bhakti Rupa, when she was on her last days, her mother was such a crazy person that she was complaining to her daughter about her own suffering and what her desires were. And Rupa Mujer was saying to me, we should just give her what she wants with it. So, you know, it's like the father loves the children, wants to indulge the children. Even though he knows that the child won't be happy, so it's a natural assumption. Why does Krishna give us what we want? Because he loves us. And he also arranges it in such a way that gradually we'll realize that even though he's giving us everything that we want, we're not happy unless we want what he wants. And he wants to enjoy. And he's great at it. And if we participate in it, we'll be so happy because when his enjoyment makes everybody happy. In this world, anybody who enjoys has to make something or somebody else miserable. Something has to be damaged, something has to suffer. That's the nature of material enjoyment. It's a lose-lose. Because if I win and somebody loses, that's a lose-lose, right? A win-win is the only thing that's a win-win. But when Krishna enjoys, then everybody can be happy. So that's why we're always encouraged. Sometimes it's not that we don't, because of this envy. Why does it have to be him enjoying all the time? No, but because his enjoyment is perfect. It's for everybody. Our enjoyment is so imperfect, and so it's at the expense of somebody else, or some other energy has to be sacrificed. And so we should know that Krishna's enjoyment is so perfect, and if we can just learn the art of participating in Krishna's enjoyment, there's nothing that can make us more happy. So it's an ocean of happiness. And it's ever increasing. But the austerity that we need to do in the meantime is to put aside our own self-centered nature and to find out what it is that the spiritual master wants. and tune into that one man, one of the things will happen. Because he was sure of Father God said, one man, one Indian, he said, was able to do so much just by surrendering his spiritual master. But just be many, many more surrendered, and many, many more are. We can see the wonderful things that are happening because of the surrendered devotees in the ISKCON movement. So let's pray to become like that with the courage and help of God to do like that so that we can participate in Krishna's enjoyment, become happy, and make others happy. Well, thank you for listening patiently. If anybody would like to make a comment, question?
I just wanted to check that I heard it right. Did you say that if we enjoy in the material world, it means that somebody is suffering because of it?
Yeah. It's almost like that. Either some material energy, it's very, the nature of material enjoyment is that something has to be sacrificed or expend energy has to be lost or another person has to be affected. It's almost always like that. We can try to think of instances, but if you think of it minutely, that's just the nature of material world. Okay, someone wants to build a house, right? They have to cut down a tree. That's minimal. And then they have to dig up the earth, and so many animals will get killed, etc., etc.
It's like enjoying nature, you go out and see nice nature or something. They're not suffering.
But it's an illusion to enjoy nature. I mean, to really enjoy. You can get some peace or sense of it. Like it's often said, you just move aside a blade of grass, or if you look a little closer, there's so much suffering going on there. It's the nature of the world. Of course, it's not that we should become morbid. You know, sometimes a good walk in nature is very beneficial for us. It can bring us to the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said, the force is the mode of goodness. But what did it say? There's even danger on the royal roads. Prabhupada gives the example. And the royal roads is also danger. So it's not really a comfortable situation in this world. But if one acts in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes auspicious. And everything he does is auspicious for others. Everything. If Prabhupada hadn't crossed the ocean, if Prabhupada hadn't gotten on that boat and come across the ocean, okay, the boat is so much Urva Karma had went into building that boat, that whole thing became Chitamani, but Prabhupada was really feeling that, so to speak. Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Any other thoughts or questions, comments?
I was speaking about lamenting for someone passing, but lamenting for some, for example, a devotee.
Yeah,
lamenting for a soul is...
That's transcendental. It's like a loss to the whole world. And it's supposed to show, you know, we take all these great souls for granted, you know. They're here, and how would I even make them say, oh, he's pretty fiery, you know what I mean, or something like that, you know?
Because we're always talking about going back to God, but actually, I interviewed him, he mentioned that he wanted to go back to God.
Yeah.
He meant it. Yeah. We don't mean it. We're talking about it, and we're reading about it. But because he meant it, rather than because he said, okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned it 2 days before, the night before.
Just see.
And of course, he took shelter of Prabhupada's books, but took shelter of Krishna. Now he took shelter of the Dham, took shelter of Holy Name.
Yeah, so the idea is that these souls were, their association is very valuable because Prabhupada said that they had a contagious disease, the disease of bhakti. And Prabhupada said, this is contagious. In a good sense, just like any infectious disease. So it's a loss.
I never lamented for anybody, but this time it really hurts me. I have quite some association with that series.
Devastating. Those kind of tears are very purifying. We should cry. We should cry and be purified. And pray to follow in his footsteps. And if we do agree to keep the instructions of such great souls in our life, then they will intervene for us. We can pray to them. We just did a seminar in Spain. all other sadhus and ISKCON. And are there sadhus and ISKCON? It's a rhetorical question. So some people are like, anyway, I mentioned it to Yanan when I was consulting him. He said, what are you going to, I said, well, I was thinking about this. He said, great. I said, you think it's not too provocative? He goes, no, it's great. Anyway, so one of our exercises is that we had to pray to a sadhu in ISKCON, dead or alive. No wanted, dead or alive. So it was really interesting because there was one really nice devotee in the temple, and she's always there, and there was some little devotee coming. So in that session when we had to offer this prayer, he made to offer the prayer to her. And then at the end we asked, if you want, you can share it. You know, we had one or two people share the prayer. And one devotee, he prayed to Ladini, my god sister Ladini. And one devotee, the young devotee, he prayed to she's not my goddess, but she's a very serious devotee. He prayed to her. And she was like completely in shock. Like, she's very serious, but she was totally mortified and totally embarrassed. But for the devotee that, you know, he saw her like that, she's very serious. And he was very respectful and prayerful that he could learn something from her to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's how that's how we need to become. That people, when they see us, they become inspired and feel like they can learn something from us. And so maybe not everybody is like that, but some people see us like that.
I think it's also like we are kind of the audience, like in the kirtan, sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
spectators.
You have the performers,
yeah,
and you have the audience.
Yeah.
And I think it is gone. It's like we've been too much thinking that, okay, I'm the audience and he's the performer.
Well,
and he's
you have to be a little careful to think.
No, I just relate to
these general statements in his.
Yeah, okay,
be
but
a little careful.
I mean,
maybe we have to speak individually for ourselves.
Yeah. No, but in the sense that we have devotees that inspire us.
Yeah.
And in the sense that when they leave, we stay behind. And we should also understand that we also, as they took shelter
yeah,
of,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and, we also should aspire to take shelter. And also, in the sense that get off the neophyte stage or try to be inspiring or be inspired.
Yes, I completely agree with you on that.
Like, I'm trying to consider, like, audience and performance.
Yeah, we shouldn't be spectators in kirtan. We should all give
yeah,
our... I remember when Madhava Prabhu was here, he had to encourage the devotees again and again. You know, give everything.
Yeah.
So that's nice, and Iyengar really pushed for that. He brought it out.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, he brought it out, and he wouldn't tolerate, you know, lukewarm participation. And, that's what makes kirtan successful. First of all, one ingredient that makes, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that kirtan can be successful when the leader feels himself to be low. The leader of the kirtan feels himself to be lower than the blade of grass. And from that, then the Lord bestows his mercy, but then the devotee has the power to draw others in. One way or another, bring them in, because my friend, Bhakti Rupa, was passing away. By that time, she was unconscious. And the devotees were there. I guess it was a very difficult situation. It was a stuffy room. And people were distracted. We were having kirtan, but people were distracted. So finally, I stopped the kirtan. I said, I know that you all know that I am an She cannot now invoke the mercy of the Lord. She's in a helpless condition. If we don't do it, how is she going to get that mercy? So please and thank you. Don't talk, some conversation, just chant. So then everybody started chanting. That's the moment when I understood Radha Swami. He goes, oh my God. The first time I saw him, it was so intense. It's like the first time you get a glimpse of it, it's so sweet you can't tolerate it. It's like so intense, and that's how I felt. I was just remembering Radha Swami's word and raising my hand and begging, Lord, you can please, this devotee deserves your mercy more than anybody. Please, please. And then the couple devotees around the bed, and I also felt, you just feel the mercy descends, because all the anxiety just went away. So we have to, that's what, how we should. should be in every kirtan, so I agree with you. So to learn the
my point was that that mood may reappear because that person disappears. Sometimes when great devotees disappear,
yeah,
then the devotees realize
that. Yeah. So we have to follow the footsteps. We have to pray. We have to learn the art of kirtan. Devotees tend to think that kirtan, not all devotees, but some devotees, and that kirtan just means really loud and really bang, bang, bang. But kirtan is an art. One has to build up. At a certain point, it may get very loud and very bang, bang, bang. But it's not a passionate thing. It has to come from the heart, and it has to build up in a prayerful mood. And then at a certain point, it becomes extremely blissful. Yes, Prabhu?
Is it true that kirtan needs to be powerful? You know?
It's true that kirtan needs to be powerful, yeah.
Playing it loud, spoken.
You find that good?
No, no. Playing from the heart.
Yeah.
Because when you play loud, you're still playing from the heart.
Well, I'm not saying that they don't go together, but sometimes it seems that one is substituting for the other.
No, I don't see that. But not in my case,
maybe not for you. Yeah. I mean, but sometimes I experience that, like that. That sometimes it's a lot of, noise, but I don't feel that my heart is being drawn in. I feel that I have to leave. It's too much for my heart and for my ears.
Yes.
So it's not that every
loud kirtan.
Not that every loud kirtan is like that. But sometimes it seems that people just feel the louder that they can play, and the louder that they shout, the more, then it becomes, for me, a little bit like a trial thing, rather than an invocation of mercy. I agree with the Dominique. It doesn't mean that it's always like that, but sometimes it seems like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
how is it when the soul leaves the body and she hasn't reached perfection? Do they all appear for the court of Yamaraj, or are there other ways? Like when a soul goes to higher planetary systems, then also they appear for Lord Yama?
What I understand is that when a soul is rendering seriously the advance of Krishna consciousness, there's no question of having to receive the Yamadutas. That's what I understand. That because it says in that particular passage that if one chants the holy name and one hears the holy name, that the Yamadutas won't bother them. That's what I understand. I don't know more details of that. Anybody else would like to say something? That's as simple as what I understand. So let's chant very seriously. We don't see those guys good enough. Shilapapa, he died.